You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's 9 minutes to seven here on the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. My name is Nzinga Kunta, standing in for Fifi Peters. Now, world political and global factors affect the markets and cause volatility. We know that factors like policy uncertainty and recessions also contribute to that volatility. Volatility impacts markets and global companies. So Renee Swanepoel, who is the Business Development Manager at Morningstar Investment Management in South Africa, joins me now. A very good evening to you, Renee. Just talk us through the current causes of volatility that we're seeing in the markets.
Hi, Nzinga. Thank you so much for having me, and good evening. So when we look at global markets, it really has been quite brutal. If you think about a lot going on in global markets, we've seen the Russia invasion of Ukraine. We've seen higher inflation, higher interest rates. So it's really been a culmination of quite a few factors that's impacted the global market. And if you think about the U.S. market in real terms, it's actually on track for its worst annual drop since 1974. And the same thing with global bonds, actually on course for their biggest loss since 1920. So if you think about global markets, there's really been nowhere to hide.
And so what effect is that having on South Africa and our markets?
If you look at Russia, so if we just pause on the recent war, so Russia's a key global oil and gas producer, so they're also a key supplier of metal. And if you think about Russia and Ukraine, they're also two of the world's biggest exporters of wheat. So if you think about our local market, the resource sector has really been a beneficiary of higher commodity prices we've seen as a result of the war. But something to also look out for on the local market is the impact of this higher oil prices, higher commodity prices, higher food prices on inflation, and how this will impact interest rates in the short term.
All right, it seems like we can't talk about the South African markets without discussing Naspers. Talk us through the sell-off and the rebound of that company.
Yeah, so if you look at Naspers, it once constituted about 25% of the SWIX, and it's been a significant contributor to the performance of SA equities over the last 15 years. And if you look at any fund manager not holding Naspers over the long term, they've actually been somewhat left behind. And what we saw on the 15th and 16th of March was really this sell-off and Naspers process and rebound. And what really drove that was not necessarily fundamentals, because if you think about these price swings of more than 15%, there's not any fundamental change in the companies that would drive this. So it was a lot driven by emotions. And if you think about the sell-off, primarily it was quite in line with the Chinese tech sector returns. So it really has kind of moved together with the performance of the Chinese tech sector.
Renee, you've done some research on something called fund hopping. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so simply put, fund hopping is hopping from one fund to another. So if you think about investing, there's a lot of behavioral biases that we all as investors suffer from. And I think probably one of them is loss aversion. So really what that means is us as investors hate losses more than we love gains. And when we see this volatility or drawdowns in market, we want to limit our losses, and we tend to want to get out of the funds we hold that have underperformed and switch them to the best performing funds.
Okay. And how does this affect markets and our investments?
So when you think about fund hopping, we've done a lot of research and what we call a performance chaser at Morningstar. So what we did is we built a portfolio and we said, hypothetically, an investor builds a performance chaser portfolio. He invests R1 million at the start. And every single year, at the end of the year, he ranks all of the funds in the category from best to worst. He takes his money out of the investment and he switches everything to last year's best performer. And he keeps on doing that for 8 years. And what we did is we took that performance chaser and we compared it to just staying invested in a well-diversified portfolio like a Morningstar high equity portfolio. And if you think about the difference in returns over 8 years, you would have had about R600,000 less over 8 years if you performance chased. So a really, really big impact on returns. And if you think about performance chasing, it is very, it's almost impossible, even for professionals, to consistently time your investments in and out of the market. And then you need to consider the cost of trading funds, which is likely to only make matters worse.
Mm-hmm. What approach then can investors take in response to this market volatility that we spoke about and change if they're trying to, you know, get ahead of it?
I think the three most important words when you think about this market volatility and you think about how you're going to make precise predictions about the short term, it's actually the three words, I don't know. If you think about the market, although it feels very difficult to do, the best thing to do in times of market volatility is to do nothing. If your financial plan and your investment objectives have not changed, your investment portfolio should also not be changed. So I think if you think about that, the moral of the story is don't chase yesterday's winners. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. The market isn't fun right now, and it's being driven by geopolitical risks, inflation, interest rates, fears of a slowing economy, and that's the bad news. But the good news is that nobody is bullish, and good things tend to happen when most investors think it won't.
Okay. So you've spoken about the importance of a well-diversified portfolio and saying that instead of fund hopping and panicking, just finding something that's within your risk level is just better when it comes to investing.
Absolutely. But a well-diversified portfolio within your risk profile that ties back to your financial goals and your investment objectives will always be the winner. And the best thing to do is take a long-term view.
And so as we wrap up, I know you can't give exact advice, but what else should someone do outside of that advice of just having a well-managed portfolio with, you know, enough risk for that you can tolerate and being patient?
I think probably the biggest thing is to remind ourselves that returns don't happen in straight lines. And it doesn't always occur when you expect it to. And another big thing is, if you think about long-term, we always talk about long-term and investments, but the long-term is just a collection of short-terms. And having a long-term strategy doesn't excuse you from all these short-term setbacks in markets and funds. So you'll always have, if it's a global financial crisis, geopolitical risks, the rand blowing out, there's always risks in the market. And it's vital to separate emotion from an investment portfolio. We all hate losses. We love gains. But the best thing is to separate that emotion and to remind ourselves that volatility creates opportunity. And short-term underperformance can really translate into a solid long-term upside over time.
Renee Swanepoel, Business Development Manager, Morningstar Investment Management, South Africa. Thanks so much for your time and insight onto good strategies when it comes to investing and also fund hopping.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.